from John 7:14-18. And it reads, About the middle of the festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished at it, saying, "How does this man have such learning when he has never been taught?" Then Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. Those who speak on their own glory, but the ones who speak the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is nothing false in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Courtney, for reading this morning's message. Hold on. I have a cough, so I need water, and it's hot, so I have my fan with me. Let us be in prayer together. Lord, we come before you to hear your word. I ask, Lord, that you guide me, and as I share the message and share your word, hear the meditations of our hearts of people gathered here today. For we worship you, Lord, but we want to continue to grow in faith as we reflect on your word. May our reflections be acceptable in your sight, Lord. For you are our strength. You are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So as Gaius mentioned in the Joys and Concerns, we did have a wonderful vacation Bible school. 5 Saturdays, and yesterday and the last Saturday, as I was seeing the children, they were singing some of the songs they had learned the past Saturdays and doing the crafts and activities and collecting wonderful prizes from all the points they had earned during the summer and learning the Bible studies in their separate classrooms. It was wonderful to see the children learn and grow in faith and be delighted about learning about church and Jesus and God. And I thought as I was watching all these happen that this is part of God's will for us to be a church. So in this morning's message, when we talk about knowing God's will for us, it's looking deeper at how we do ministry with each other and how Jesus spoke to the people, especially during this morning's passage. For when we say what is God's will for us, it's simple, it's not hard, it's not rocket science. God's will for us is to have eternal life with him. But the question is, how do we accomplish this will? How do we truly know what this will is? I believe God's will for us is to have eternal life with him, and it is accomplished by being faithful people. It is accomplished by sharing our faith and by bringing people of faith together. But then you kind of wonder, well, how do we be faithful people? How do we share our faith? And how do we bring people to faith? I think we do that by doing 3 things when we talk about knowing God's will for us. The first is to know God's will, we must be willing to learn God's will for us. And learning is so important, as we know, especially today as we lift up our college students and those who have received scholarships. The second thing is, when we want to know God's will, we must be truly committed then to fulfill God's will for us. And the third thing is, when we want to say we know God's will, we must also be willing to trust God's will for us, willing to learn God's will for us, willing to be committed to God's will for us, and willing to trust God's will for us. I saw recently an interview, an actor, and he was talking about working for Tina Fey, who's a great comedian and writer and director. And he says that he and Tina Fey have developed a new term called overstand. You know how we have the word understand in our vocabulary, where we understand something, people will explain how to get to a certain place, and you say, "Oh yes, I understand the directions." Or people might explain how to cook a new dish, and you say, "Oh yes, I understand the directions." But this actor was saying he is at the point where he thinks he's such an expert on all these things that he overstands things. It's kind of like if you were to have Michael Jordan in front of you and you explained to Michael Jordan how to do a 3-point shot. He would say, "Oh no, I overstand it." You know, it's more than understand it. Or Julia Child, the great cook, if she came live into our church this morning and you wanted to tell Julia Child how to cook a roasted chicken, she would stop you right there and say, "Oh no, I overstand how to cook a roasted chicken." Are we as Christians falling into that trap where we overstand? We know so much, we think we're the experts on Christianity, on faith, on Jesus, on the Bible. Have we become so comfortable or so proud of what we know that we think we overstand everything. In this morning's passage, when Jesus is arriving at the festival, if you read a little bit earlier in the passage, starting, I believe, with verse 7 of John chapter 7, it tells about Jesus arriving to the festival and actually not being public at first. It says in the scripture he actually hid for a few days. So when he appears to the people in the festival in verse 14, it says about the middle of the festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. How strategic, how interesting Jesus was to choose the middle of the festival, that time to go forth before all the people. He didn't go at the beginning of the festival. He didn't go on the second or maybe third day, but he went during the middle of this great festival when he knew many more people would gather during that time. It was then that he went public. He came out of hiding to share the message. And the Jews, when they saw him, they were astonished and they questioned, saying, how can he be teaching? How does this man have such learning when he has never been taught? Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but it is he who sent me. For the people, the Jewish people that were questioning Jesus, I think they overstood things. They thought too much. They thought they were the experts. They thought they knew everything. So that when Jesus was there before them teaching and preaching, they were confused. How could this simple person, as we all know, born from a carpenter, be a person teaching them? And Jesus tells them, my teaching is not mine, but it is he who sent me. He's reminding them that the teachings aren't from him, Jesus, the man before them, but from God, the creator, the person who made all of them, and Jesus himself. That is the first step to knowing God's will for us. We know God's will for us is to have eternal life from him, with him, but we must be first willing to learn about God's will from us. Just as the college students are entering college again or starting their second or third or fourth year or graduate school, they are learning things as well to achieve their goal. Do you remember when you were in college, or especially your first year in college, you had all these choices of classes to choose from? You had general education requirements. You had classes for your major. You had a list of classes. And then, of course, by the time you get to your third or your senior year or your last year, that list of all these classes available for you to take narrows down. I often hear from our college seniors and juniors how hard it is to find classes because now they only need certain classes. They're done with all their general education classes, and now they only need classes for their major or one of the last few classes they need to graduate. All the choices of learning, it's so exciting to hear from the college students as they start school. Or I was talking to Joy and Juliet yesterday during Vacation Bible School as they're entering middle school, how exciting it is them for them to get their schedule of classes as well. We need to be excited about learning God's will for us. That excitement that college students have when they first start college, or middle school students, or when you start a new class or project, or maybe James when he started his master's degree program. We need to be excited about learning God's will for us. And we need to be saying, yes, we want to learn what God's will for us is. It is so important to learn what God's will for us, and it means more than just coming to church and sitting in the pew on a Sunday morning. It includes reading the scriptures. It includes praying with other people. It includes being in fellowship with each other, to stop, to pause, to be in time of devotion, to understand when Jesus says, my teaching is not mine, but it is he who sent me, to know that God has a will for us and we must learn what that will is so important. And then when you are open to learning what God's will for us, then you can be committed to God's will for you. God's will for us is to have eternal life with him, to be people of faith, to share our faith, and to help others come to faith. So then when we know and learn more about how we can do this, we also must be committed to doing this as well. For Jesus tells the Jewish people before him that, yes, my teaching is not mine, but it is from God. But know that anyone, he says in verse 17, anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own. We must be resolved to do that. We must be committed to do the will of God. We must trust that God's will for us is strong. There's a saying that says when we practice what He, the Lord, says, the evidence becomes internal and real. God's word proves itself true to those who sincerely do it. When we are committed to doing God's will, it says that the evidence becomes internal and real. Have we met people who we know are true persons of faith and thought, wow, those people are so faithful that there's just something about them. They don't have to tell you they're a Christian, but you see it in them or you see how they live their life. It becomes an internal thing, an automatic thing. Just as when a person learns to drive a car. I was talking to Reverend Tan the other day. He has his driver's license, but he's only really driven in Singapore or recently in a suburb of Texas. And he talks about LA traffic and LA highways and, you know, has all these questions about it. You can get the manual you get from the DMV about California driving laws and memorize the laws and be the expert on the law and pass the written test. But until you learn how to drive on the actual streets of LA, it's a different thing, right? It's not the same as just driving in a simulator or driving on local streets, but it's the thing that you learn and be committed to. So Reverend Tan talked about going to Long Beach with a past church member to look for a new car. Thankfully, Mrs. Zhang thought up the good question. Well, so if David takes you to Long Beach in his car and you buy a new car there, how are you going to get back to the church, right? Because David, of course, would drive back home in his own car. Then how would Reverend Tan get back to the church? So all these questions about applying what you learn, you can know the California driving laws, you can memorize the street map on how to get back to the church, but the actual driving takes commitment, just as our faith takes commitment. We learn things, we are committed to doing Bible study, we are committed to coming to Sunday worship service, being involved with Vacation Bible School or the children's choir directors help children learn their song. We are learning all these things, and the next step is then to be committed to these things, to truly be committed so that it becomes internal. That we can then, if we're a Reverend Tan or a new person in LA, get into a car and drive where we need to go. It needs to be an internal thing. That is what our faith must be. It must be internal so that we know when we are faced with moral decisions to make the right decisions, that we know when we meet someone who is lost or afraid or needs comfort, we can share with them what we know and love about God. These need to be internal things that can come out of us when we are committed to doing God's will. And then when we have learned, when we are committed, we must finally take the last step to really truly trust God's will for us. And I think trust is even harder than being committed. Trust is even harder than learning about God's will for us. Because trust requires us to fully be committed, to fully learn everything. Trust requires to fully trust in the Lord, to trust God's plan for us. So when Jesus says to the people this morning, who he speaks to in verse 18, that those who speak on their own seek their own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him, God, who sent him, is true. And Jesus, yes, is talking about himself, because he knows he only seeks God's glory. He's not like the people he is talking to who seek their own glory. But he's also talking about all the people present. And us today can hear that message as well. Because Jesus says there is nothing false in him, the person who seeks only God's glory. That means, of course, then trusting fully in the Lord. It is not our will. It is not our plans. It is God's will. It is God's plan. And especially in the U.S., I believe we become a very individualistic society. We sort of make our own decisions. We believe we have the best choices. We put ourselves first. But what Jesus is calling the Jewish people then and us today to do is to not be individualistic, but communal, and to recognize that it is God's will for us and the whole community. It says that the secret of knowing God's will is to be willing to do it. To know that God doesn't give simply to get our approval. He does it to get our obedience and to get our trust. There is a story about a man who got lost in the desert. And after wandering for several days, he comes upon a shack in the middle of the desert. And in this shack, there is a water pump with a bowl of water on top. And the pump has a sign that says, if you pour this bowl of water back into the pump and pump again, you will have more than enough water than needed. So this man, he is faced with two choices then. One, thinking, and he's been, you know, wandering the desert for days, he's so thirsty, his lips are dry, he's filthy with all the sand, to use that water right away, take the bowl and just drink it for himself, and not pay attention to the directions that are there. The other choice is to follow the directions, to trust the directions that are before him, to pour that bowl of water into the pump and see if more water comes out, as the directions say. We as Christians are kind of faced with that. Do we want sort of that immediate satisfaction, or are we willing to be trusting in the Lord, in these instructions that are given us, in the word of the Bible, in the message from Sunday, in the Bible studies? Do we trust God's will for us? So the story says that the man decided to trust the note to the directions on the water pump, and he pours the entire bowl of water back into the pump and starts pumping the pump, hoping water will come out of the spout. And as he's pumping the pump, water doesn't come out, and he starts fearing that he had made the wrong choice and the wrong decision. But he trusts the note, so he keeps pumping the pump, and sure enough, not just the water that was in the bowl comes out, but much more water. He has so much water that he drinks enough that his belly is full. He has so much water that can wash off all the sand from his face. He has so much water that he puts some in the bag as he needs to go on his way. And he has so much water that he refills the water bowl that was first there and puts it back with a note for the next person to come by. When we fully trust the Lord, even when it seems hard at first, then we are rewarded. Our reward for God's will to have eternal life with Him. But we must work for it. We must not give up. And we must trust in the Lord, just as this man trusted in the note. So this morning, we will give the college students their scholarships and pray for them as well. And I think the college students have been on a journey of faith themselves and are doing what they can to fulfill God's will. And each and every one of us here needs to be committed to fulfilling God's will, to learning what God's will for us is, to have eternal life with Him, to be faithful, to share our faith, and to bring others to faith, to commit to doing God's will, of being faithful, to commit to sharing our faith, and to commit to sharing our faith with others, and also then finally to trust God's will for us. If you remember a couple of months ago when we had the confirmation class, Jonathan, in his short message, said something like, it's not God's will, it's my will. But he accidentally switched the words, and he knew it, and we all laughed about it. But it was a thing that caught our attention, right? Because it does sound foreign, it does sound bad, it sounds wrong when someone says, oh, not God's will, my will. We laughed because we knew it was wrong. We have been come internal. We've had our faith internalized, which is what we want to happen. But what if you walked out into the street and you said to someone, a stranger who probably isn't a Christian or does not have a background of faith, it's not God's will, it's my will. That person might agree with you. There are so many people out there in the world that when you say, it's not God's will, it's my will, they won't do what we did in church when Jonathan accidentally said it and laugh. They'll agree with you. And that, I think, is scary, that we do live in a world where many people say, yes, it is not God's will, it is my will. So God's will for us, then, is to learn how we can change the hearts of these people, how we can share our faith and bring them to faith, to be committed to God's will, to trust in God's will, and follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, just as in this morning's passage, he was trying to teach the people before him. Let us pray. Loving God, you know the reflections on our hearts. Help us to truly understand or even overstand what it means to have your will, to share our faith, to be faithful, and to help those have faith. For we know your will is strong for us, Lord, and we are so thankful that your will was so strong that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, for the world. His death for our sins, and we are so grateful that we will continue to fulfill your commitment of your will out into this world. Amen.